Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. CliffCentral.com.
We're going to the leader interview now. We are joined in the studio by Diren Govender. He is the CEO of Brightest Young Minds. This is an interesting organization. Recently, they had a summit which featured 100 action-oriented young people between the ages of 20 and 32. They spent the week looking at innovative solutions and what are the things they must do to drive positive change. So Diren is joined in the studio by someone who's also attended the summit, Koketo Rampiaperi. I hope I've said your name right.
That's correct.
Forgive me for chopping it up. But Diren, welcome to Cliff Central.
Thank you so much for having
me. Leadership platform.
Thank you.
So perhaps where do we begin? We want to also talk briefly about you as a leader in terms of your vision about, you know, what led you to this creation of this organization. But first, let's start by understanding a bit about your background.
All right, born and bred in Durban.
Okay.
Took the migration up in 2008.
We all must at some point.
Exactly. You know, we all must. I actually find it interesting that all my friends from Durban said, oh, we'll never move. And now I'm welcoming them at housewarmings. So it's quite interesting.
Excellent. So you're the CEO of Brightest Young Minds?
Yes. Position. I celebrated my anniversary last week, Friday,
Wow.
at the organization. So 1 year in.
Excellent. It's been excellent. Look, we had one of the participants, Prince Appiah.
Yes.
I think from Ghana.
Yes.
Last Monday. So he talked briefly about what BYM does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just like for you to tell our listeners, what is the scope and breadth of the work that the organization is involved in?
All right, just a bit of organizational history and context. BYM is a 16-year-old nonprofit and public benefit organization that exists to create a positive impact in all the communities in which we serve. From 2015, we took the decision to expand our borders beyond South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, we had representation from 10 African countries. And at our summit 2 weeks ago, we had 14 African countries in the room.
Okay.
We exist on three pillars, which is identify, connect, and mobilize, where we find young people, bring them together, as well as link them up to thought leaders, business leaders, civil leaders. And thereafter, we mobilize them to go out and take all their ideas from the summit and turn them into action.
Mm.
And that's really what differentiates our delegates, is that when we say Brightest Young Minds, people think it's very conceptual and very idea-driven.
Mm-hmm.
But we look for action-oriented young people that can go out and lead change wherever they may be.
Okay. Well, I think Prince kind of, you know, epitomized that.
Exactly.
Because he's from 1 billion Africa.
Yes.
And clearly we could talk about some of the initiatives that he's driving, not only in Ghana, but across Africa. You know, he told us that there's even a chapter here in South Africa, and they're teaching IT skills, you know, to young people and doing various other initiatives. And let's hear from Koketo. So, Koketo, help scan for us what your involvement with BYM has been.
Well, I was a 2014 delegate, and post the summit, what I decided to do with three other delegates is to start a entrepreneurial consulting business, and it's been running for 2.5 years now.
Okay, fantastic. What is it called?
It's called Y Generation Management Consulting.
Yeah. And just tell us, what are you involved in? What space are you involved in?
It's primarily involved in the ideation space, product development, strategy, because it's very critical that in the entrepreneurial space we do understand what's the important and the value of strategy, because what we find out is that a lot of entrepreneurs, they take a business plan for a strategy, of which that's incorrect. So actually we there to try and assist in them comprehending the value of strategy. We're also involved in a number of business analysis and business advisory, corporate identity work.
Okay, excellent. Diren, you mentioned that, you know, you had 14 African countries represented at your summit. I'm a firm believer in collaboration. And if we can have platforms that bring Africans together, I mean, I think we would have achieved a lot to try and deal with some of the problems that we face, be it education, healthcare, and so forth.
Exactly. I think you and I definitely align on that. Collaboration is really the only way that we're going to create positive impact. I think the time of isolation and siloing of ideas, it's gone. it's gone out with Y2K. So it's very, very old.
Sure.
And I think that's really the only way we can move forward. It's quite interesting that you mention education, healthcare, and the like, because that formed the crux of our summit this, well, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. where we used South Africa's National Development Plan as an overarching framework.
Sure.
We drew out 8 pillars from the document. So we looked at the usual suspects of healthcare, education, but also the lesser debated issues of public services, infrastructure development, and the like. And we presented them to our delegates, which is really where our summit gets exciting. We give the delegates between 24 and 48 hours mm-hmm. to solution for some of these problems. And it was phenomenal. Some of the ideas that they came out with after a 36-hour period, they pitched it to a panel of judges, both corporate as well as entrepreneurs, so people really going out and making a difference. And it was phenomenal. They were actually recognized by the presidency of South Africa as well mm-hmm. for the contribution of their ideas. So okay, that's what we're
phenomenal.
About.
That's yeah. excellent. But let's just quickly go to the issue of now you as a leader. What have you found to have been the most demanding aspect of leading such an organization?
I think I've been very fortunate. The work of my predecessors, of people far brighter than I am, really paving the way to get BYM to sit at real tables of meaningful discussion.
Uh-huh.
I've worked in the youth leadership space from my university days all the way through to now. That's where my personal passion lies. And I think the biggest challenge that young people across the continent face, and probably globally as well, mm-hmm. is to just get a seat at the table. And I suppose the biggest challenge I'm finding in my role now is to make sure that as many young people as possible share the space at the table with me. I view myself, like, I'm a very big believer in servant leadership. That's mm-hmm. my personal moral code.
Yep.
And this is where alumni such as Kaketso and 1,600 others, my responsibility is to get them to sit at the table and have meaningful dialogue with global leaders and business leaders.
Okay. Let's segue to Kaketso. Help us understand what is your leadership philosophy? You obviously have started this venture, consulting business, but what is your leadership philosophy? And help us understand what informs it in the context of South Africa, having grown up here.
For me, the leadership philosophy that I actually follow is around relationship building.
Okay.
Without proper relationships, there's going to be a lot of misunderstandings that are going to arise. So I always tell the team that, guys, let's build a strong relationship, then the business will follow from that. And I think as South Africa, that's something that we need to start embracing, starting to understand one another as to from which perspective are you coming from. If you're coming up with an idea mm-hmm. or you're coming up with a solution to the challenge that we've been faced with, let's first build proper sustainable relationships.
Excellent. Louis, I think you can come in here. We've had very strong principles around leadership. Relationships is one. And we've also had about 7 leadership. How interesting that you have young people starting or embracing these principles, to build a cohort of future leaders.
I think that is, of course, vital as well. I just want to mention to our two guests that for many years, we've been involved in leadership development, hundreds of articles and that kind of thing. But what we've discovered is that the conversations you have about leadership principles becomes by far the best training method. Now, you mentioned expressions, a seat at the table, for instance. Now, a seat at the table means you're in the presence, probably of some theoretical boffins, also some people who walk the coals of life. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we feel there's no way better than learning the skills is by having that kind of conversation. Now, many conversations lead to negative action. Mm-hmm. But the leadership conversations, we've got boffins and people who walk the coals of life there, and you can relate it. That's when you start really changing behavior. So you guys mentioned some key things which I love. This business of building relationships, in a sense, that's also building trust based on the right kind of dialogue or conversations. You can't build a relationship without conversations. So don't jump to the end until you've gone through the process of the conversations, etc. Boy, you get a lot of value from that. Appreciate it. I think it's good stuff. Ellis, really?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this being Youth Month, I mean, we could not have had a better time to have this conversation. Richard, your thoughts in terms of you know, what is it that this country can leverage from young people who basically are thinking in a more futuristic way as these two gentlemen?
Well, for me, I think the one key thing is that, you know, no matter what the issues are that you face as a country, if you're not able to generate ideas that solve problems, I mean, and we've seen it throughout the continent, is, you know, if you think the same way that you've always been thinking, you're only going to get the same result. And the reality is, we need people to think outside of the box. We need people to think with a different kind of, let's call it a reference point. And I think often, you know, it's the youth of today that can see the opportunities and think, you know, why? Why are we doing it this way? Why has it always been done this way? You know, what can we do differently? And I think the other reality is that because you just don't have the baggage of the past, you don't think with those lenses. We often think of the story of the Americans spending millions of dollars trying to figure out how to get a pen to write in space, and the Russians just used a pencil. And that might sound basic, but I mean, I often say, you know, in life, it's not about having an MBA, it's about having the MBO. And people say, well, what's an MBO? I say, the stuff that's mind-blowingly obvious. And we may not think it's that, but it's there. It's, if it's, you know, you can have this problem and you can look at it all you like, and then somebody else walks into the space and goes, oh, so just do that, that, and then you go, why didn't I think of that? Well, it's just because they've got a different frame of reference and a different perspective. And yeah, you just need people that are but the key thing is, if you've got people like that around you, you've got to have an environment that allows them to be safe to say, well, there's the mind-blowingly obvious thing to do.
Again, the principle here is, based on what you said, Richard Ellis, is also the emphasis on connecting, which really is another way of saying talking about it. Now, talk is cheap and money buys the whiskey, my dad. Now, I don't drink, but it's valuable.
I was going to say, I'm not worried about
that. The value of the principle is...
speak about Scotland earlier.
Yeah, the principle is, yeah, that really it's the kind of talking you do. And I believe that this is a key lesson in modern leadership, is to learn to talk the proper way and then take away all this, as Richard was saying, the ridiculous common sense things, you know, grow. For it's Brexit now. Now, obviously now they're starting to talk.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Having conversations.
No, absolutely.
And I suppose that's the nature of it. So what these guys are saying is a healthy principle. Talk about it. The old stage of telling people, there's a time to tell your vision, but if you want to get your vision, learn to talk about it with the right people.
Sure. You want to say something?
Yeah, if I can just jump in there. That's what BYM has existed to do since our inception in 2000, is to create a platform where young people can come together and share ideas. And we're completely diverse in terms of our selection. In fact, our selection process is completely blind. We see no demographics when we choose people. We base them on the merit of what they've gone out and done. As I said, we look for action-oriented people, so they have to demonstrate a track record of impact, of a positive impact. Yeah. And it's not uncommon for the challenge phase of our summit to actually pair a doctor with an artist and an accountant and a musician and just varied lenses and perspectives coming together, because then you get those MBOs that Richard just alluded to, and they really do blow our mind every single year.
So just help us understand one thing then about membership of Brightest Young Minds. Is it to get to the summit or to have continuous conversations?
So the summit is actually the entry point. So come through the 5 days, let us deconstruct the status quo of your mind by bombarding you with valuable, useful information and skills to go out and make change. And because we've got such a long, steeped history and 1,600 alumni, we've got the networks that can help accelerate ideas to the next level. So someone that was at the summit 16 years ago is possibly now a captain of industry or a renowned entrepreneur. So they can go back and help to tread those coals that Louis was alluding to earlier, and really mentor and guide people, younger people, towards achieving their ambitions.
Okay. Richard, do you look anxious here?
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, the one thing that I've always realized is it's one thing to have a great idea that can solve a problem, but then you've also got to have the next part, which is the ability to activate. And if you're able to network people effectively, and I really like what you're saying in terms of how you've got that right, because if you can take the great idea and the great concept, and you can then pair it with somebody who knows and understands great ideas, obviously, I mean, if they don't understand, they don't understand, it's not going to go anywhere. But if you can get to somebody, let's call it fertile ground, where you can put in those seeds and let them germinate effectively and quickly, wow, what a powerful position to be in. And that's where the game change actually happens. And interestingly, I mean, if you think about the world and how it's changed over just the last maybe 10, 15 years and the changes that we've seen and where those changes have come from, they're not coming from large corporates where people have been sitting in a room.
Yeah, workshops, focus groups.
They didn't come from the board. I can guarantee you they didn't come from the boardroom. They didn't come from the annual workshop. They definitely didn't come from the business plan. You know, and none of these things,
or monthly boot camp,
or the and none of these things actually produce any of that. It always comes from people sitting, talking, thinking, engaging, and creating,
and making that connection.
You know, but if I just emphasize that process that you just spoke about, Darren. Obviously, we're concerned. We meet many people, and we're vitally concerned with the spirit of Black Empowerment, that was to get the people to run business. But, you know, 90% fail all the time. This process of mentoring, etc., tell us something, how you feel about that. Does it work? Do you feel that people are latching onto it and we are building entrepreneurs?
You know, I think I'll answer this in 2 points. I'll deal with the mentorship aspect first. I think the narrative in South Africa has been, you know, mentorship is needed, mentorship is needed. And every platform I get, I challenge a corporate to partner with BYM to be the first mover on a holistic and comprehensive mentorship program. Mm-hmm. I've yet to hear from anyone, so open call for...
No, we recognize this.
Your number is +27.
So I think, you know, the first organization that can put resources into a comprehensive plan will have a first mover advantage that could change South Africa.
Totally.
The second part about entrepreneurs, in my experience, and this is very limited and very anecdotal, I have by far not the brightest, but I think the most important thing is to imbue an entrepreneurial mindset in people. We can't go out and create millions of entrepreneurs, as beautiful as that may sound, but if you can teach someone to think like an entrepreneur, then they start disrupting and creating innovative solutions in businesses that they work in. And I think that's what we're missing. But trying to start businesses, we're not teaching people how to think like businessmen. And there's a very big difference in my personal view.
I think that's a very powerful point. I'm also a firm believer that it doesn't matter whether you're within corporate or you're doing your own thing, you got to think entrepreneurial.
Exactly.
If you're in the workplace or in the corporate, there's something you're selling, and it is your time. So you then have to look at what does the time help you to accrue in terms of the positive change that you can drive at the personal level as well as at an organizational level.
Beautiful.
So we are all entrepreneurs.
Ellis, 2 points that Darren mentioned. First of all, I think the mindset is very important, and we could talk about that a lot. We certainly, that's why this our set of 3 hours is called Transformation Leadership, really. Now, the one is that, obviously the mindset. The second one is your emphasis that really the main source of the mentoring should come from the corporates. Now, we can see we've got people like Pick and Pay, we had discussion, and also Choho-san, etc. They do a great in that direction. But the idea is, this is a spirit of Triple B, really it is, and people must understand it all the time, is that you ignite that mentoring spirit, because in the corporates lies a lot of, not necessarily the best entrepreneurs, but the skill sets, even these dumb CAs.
For the listeners, I got pointed at that point.
Bean counters.
No, but what I'm getting at is, that is the secret, and then the extension of the corporate really becomes the development of entrepreneurs, or else they will keep on failing. So it's a case of you do your best we can, but if we tie the two together, Darren, and this is what you're saying. Now, we have got good reaction from corporates, but very slow. They're so, let's face it, involved in their own crisis situations, but the skill sets are there. And it's not can't be just a division of the corporate. It must be a mindset of the top leadership. That's the only way we can really create those great businesses out there, SMEs as well.
So, Darren, I mean, we're going to soon be wrapping up here. So what's next for the Brightest Young Minds organization?
Well, what we try to do after the end of each summit is to take the solutions and ideas that come out of the challenge phase mm-hmm. and really push them to become reality. Okay. We're very fortunate that a lot of our corporate partners, our sole strategic partner being Barclays Africa, uh-huh. have really stepped up to the plate, and they're offering the in-house mentorship and skill sets that Louis just mentioned to help accelerate the ideas. We also have some incubation partners to help provide guidance and support to get the ideas to an MVP stage. Because right now, as great as they are, they're still a bit rough around the edges. So the immediate and short-term goal is to refine them and see how we can push them out across the 14 African countries that were present at the summit.
Okay. Mm. And Koketo, what made it happen for you in terms of, you know, being part of BYM? I mean, what did you have to have in terms of attributes and so forth to make you a perfect fit to work within the BYM structure?
I think it's more of being an innovative thing, someone who thinks outside the box. Mm-hmm. When you're faced with a problem, the first thing you ask yourself is, how can I not solve this conventionally?
Okay.
You know, say, but what is it out there that hasn't been thought of in solving this particular problem? I think that's one of the reasons I got selected to actually join into the team. And to Duren's point about how they do the pairing, mm-hmm. if you look at YGMC itself, of which all the directors were from the summit, it's an engineer, it's a lawyer, and it's a finance guy. So through our expertise from various different fields, we came together and said, okay, guys, but what is it that's lacking within the SME space? And how can we put together some sort of services or products mm-hmm. that we can take out to these SMEs and provide a lucrative service? Because what we've been seeing is that an SME does not have access to the likes of McKinsey and Accenture because, first of all, they're very expensive from an SME perspective, but yet at the same time, they do require those services. And we said, listen, we've been working in corporate. We've been working for these corporates. We understand how they work and how they function. Mm-hmm. How about we start transcending these skills down to the people that need it the most, and those are your SMEs.
Okay, you talk of YGMC. What does that stand for?
Y Generation Management Consulting, and it stems back from how the team is managed. It's managed by young Y Generation members, and we primarily provide our services to the Y Generation.
Okay, fantastic. Excellent. Richard, final thoughts?
Yeah, I've got two comments. The first one is, earlier on you made a comment about, you know, the integration and working across Africa, and I think, you know, we often think of ourselves within, let's call it, national borders, mm-hmm. but the reality is the problems that we face as a continent are in some cases unique, but in many cases they're plug and play across the continent, and the issues are universal. And the solution set is universal. There's absolutely no reason why somebody sitting in Rwanda can't come up with a problem that's relevant for somebody in Botswana, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I also think the principle of, and my second comment goes to this whole question of corporate culture and where you have entrepreneurial flair and capability. I had the privilege of working in the First Rand Group, which has a high level of entrepreneurial flair versus some of the other banks around town. And having consulted and worked with various of them, I realized very quickly once I was out of First Rand what First Rand had, in particular at the time of the merger and the creation mm-hmm. of the group back then.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that if you have a corporate culture that has got an entrepreneurial capability and a thinking, it definitely, I can tell you without a doubt, it definitely goes way beyond what a, let's call it, a traditional culture, corporate culture is. So if there's people sitting out there with a corporate, let's call it, environment that they've got to deal with, it is worth the effort focusing on entrepreneurial behaviors and creating entrepreneurial culture and entrepreneurial leadership. Because at the end of the day, that's actually going to differentiate you.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I'm sure we'll have you guys back in the studio soon. You've been listening to a conversation with Diren Governor. He's the CEO of Brightest Young Minds. And we also had Koketso Rampiapedi, an alumni of BYM. To catch these and many other podcasts, go to the Cliff Central website. Well, this is the time when we give you the leadership thought brought to you by Sibanye. And having spoken about the problems that, you know, the Brexit has created in terms of leadership, I thought it was important to look at how to differentiate between contribution and compliance. So this is the thought for today. Organized bureaucracies thrive on compliance. It makes it easier to tell people what to do. But contribution is the only way that organizations thrive. The best way to make change happen and the essence of being part of a community. It's a shame that we spend so much time teaching our children and our employees to comply. Far better to seek out contribution instead. This thought is based on a newsletter that I get each week from thought leader Seth Godin. With that, that's how we end our leader interview segment of our show. We'll be right back after this brief break. CliffCentral.com.